Hey guys, what's up? It's Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
We are here.
I'm William the Opinion Updike.
I'm positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're coming at you 5 days a week with fresh Clippers content, in case you didn't know. If you did, congratulations, you're smart. Today we got a heck of a show lined up for you. We're going to be recapping that loss against the Blazers.
Four in a row, baby.
Man, I really hope we're going to be able to end this trend of me saying encouraging loss.
Yeah, it's not... No loss is as encouraging as a win would be.
Absolutely. So we got that for you. We're going to get into a little bit of NBA talk, Twitter stuff. If you guys have any questions during the broadcast, feel free to shoot them out. We'd love to answer them. We've got a few in there. And we'll be talking about some general Clipper stuff. And then we're going to wrap up with just a kind of general NBA talk. We had a lot of games last night, but we got a few clutch ones, key ones that you need to know about.
Yeah.
So all that and more coming up right about now. If you're tuning live, thanks for watching. If you're listening to the pod later, thanks for listening.
Yeah, before we get into this recap, I want to give a big shout out to Metro Infinity. They're just off the 210 in East Monrovia here in California. If you're listening internationally, go check them out at Ace 21 East Central Ave. Family owned in California, only business that's been family owned and running cars for 25 years. Which is pretty incredible. One of the favorite parts about Metro Infinity, if you don't like going to the dealership, they'll bring everything to you, which is cool. You can flex on all your coworkers, buy a new car at work. Who wouldn't want to do that? Mention Locked On, they'll give you $500 off any car purchase. If you're looking for a new car or an Infinity specifically, give them a chance to earn your business.
Metro Infinity.
Reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. All right. Let's get into this recap. That was spooky. That Metro Infinity.
We got a question on Twitter. Should I study for finals or listen to Locked On Clippers?
Listen to Locked On Clippers.
Listen to Locked On Clippers, man. Always. What are you thinking?
So,
do you care about your future?
So, recap of the game. Blazers beat the Clippers in Los Angeles last night, 131-127.
Oof.
We were down 15 at one point. We were down 18 at one point. It was a roller coaster. Going to hit you with some quick stats right off the bat. Some fantastic career highs were set. Tobias put up 39 points on 68% shooting.
Incredible.
With 11 boards. Really awesome to see him at least try and take control. Shea got his career high, had 24, also on 60% shooting. He looked ready.
Yeah, both of his highest scoring games have been against the Blazers, which, makes sense.
Gallo started pretty slow. He was 3 of 10 up until about halfway through the fourth. He ended with 22 points. He was feasting on the line, which was awesome to see. Damian Lillard had 39 for the Blazers, and CJ McCollum had 27 for the Blazers as well.
We got beat on the fast break, barely, about 10 to 7 points. It was really close. We did a much better job of that. I'm sure it's a combination of our defense and them just not being as much of a fast break team as teams that we've been playing lately. Second chance points were dead even at 13 and 13.
It's nice.
And
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, points in the paint, we hung in there. It was 58 to 50. I would have liked to see us outscore them in the paint.
Yeah.
Just given the Blazers and, you know, their marquee scorers.
Yeah, that would have been good. Also, one of the reasons we didn't outscore them in the paint, hey, Igor Todd had 0 points last night. If you're watching this, you, me, Will, everyone else watching this, woke up with the exact same amount of points as Gortat and Bradley combined last night. They had 0 points, which is the same. We'll get into that more later. Right off the, I want to get something out of the way. The refs for both sides, horrendous this game.
Yeah, it was. There were a lot of calls. What did you end up saying? Like the fourth quarter was 45 minutes long.
The fourth quarter took 45 minutes, and there were 36 free throws taken. It was unbearable. Gallo late in the game was clearly fouled on a 3-point shot. No whistle at all after giving him some kind of soft fouls, which was very weird. Trez got a flagrant too for what any rational person would say was a flagrant one. He did hit Nurk in the head.
Yeah,
which. You know, that's going to happen, but it in no way was malicious. Like
it was a flagrant, but it wasn't.
There wasn't
intent. I don't think that there was intent to harm another player.
Not at all. He handled it very well. He laughed and immediately sprinted off the court, which I guess is kind of what a lunatic would do, but it looked pretty funny. Just a lot of soft calls on both sides. Really, I mean, I guess I'm glad the NBA referees started that dumbass Twitter account so we can tweet at them now. That seemed like a bad call on their part.
Definitely.
Biggest play of the game. So we're down 3 with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. Shea makes a grown man play, takes a charge. We get the ball back. Gallo's playing well at this point. Then he tries to throw it off the backboard and dunk over, I think it may have been Nurkic, and gets called for a loose ball foul. They get free throws and the ball back. Doc referred to that as a disaster play.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the play where he was like rubbing his face.
Dude, it was bad. Like
got a lot of great GIF material out of that.
Oh, yeah. And it sucked because Gallo was playing... Gallo really did his best to drag us back into this game. Him and Tobias, obviously, but Gallo late was clutch.
Yeah, the Tobio cushion was in full effect. They combined for 60. Both looking really great. We can't defend the three.
We can't defend a three. We couldn't defend backdoor cuts.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, all the starters were in a negative plus minus.
I know, but I think that's bound to happen, especially when the point differentials were so high at certain points.
True.
While this game did end up really close in the end, I mean, Portland pretty handedly controlled the game.
Yeah. We were down 15 for a lot of it.
Yeah, they led by 15 for over half the game. So it makes sense to me that those numbers would be a little bit skewed just because of that. But, the defending the three is really a problem. And I don't know at this point if it is the fault of the pieces or the fault of the system that they're in.
Yeah. They shot 50% from three and 66% from the field.
Yeah.
That happens so much against us.
Yeah. They took, 30% less threes than us and ended up with the same amount of points.
Jesus.
And, you know, Rex Kalamian's system is supposedly designed to, like, guard the three, especially from the predominant ball handler.
Yeah.
So you would think that system would really, like, line up well against this sort of offense. And I don't know, man. It's just not happening.
You would think.
It's just not happening.
Lillard went off in the third quarter. I think he had 19 in the third quarter. The Blazers had their best quarter of the year with 42 points in that quarter. Granted, full disclosure, don't know a lot about defensive schemes in the NBA. I know what good defense looks like, you know, from the eye test.
Yeah.
This team looks shaky. Our communication is super weird on pick and roll right now. Backdoor cuts were just wide open really early in the game. We just look out of sorts.
Yeah. And especially with the three-point shooting, I mean, you can make any excuse you want for Avery Bradley. I know that he's like a hustle guy, and I know that he brings some stuff, but like he should be able to lend enough defense that Damian Lillard isn't going off for 39 points.
Agreed. Let's get into that right now. Two of our starters are complete net negatives on offense, and one of them absolutely is untrustworthy on defense, Gortat. Bradley kind of has these flashes randomly of it. Andrew Greif of the LA Times asked Doc if he's considering changing his starters moving forward, and Doc said, maybe. Which, that's encouraging from Doc. That's basically a yes from anyone else.
Yeah, definitely.
Bradley played 30 minutes, had 0-1-0. He played bad defense.
Yeah.
Justin Russo had this, I guess, gem of a stat. Avery Bradley has played 3 games already this season where he's had 0 points in over 22 minutes, despite taking 4-plus shots from the field. He has 3 of those games. The NBA record in the season, for the whole season,
is 4.
Is 4. That's not good.
No, not a hot start.
Ty Wallace really did his best to kind of show why he deserves minutes.
Definitely, yeah.
18 minutes, had 8 points, generally just looked, I mean, the offense looked a little better when he was out there because we can actually have a 2 who can run it. Like,
and we'll talk about this a little bit more in the second segment, but is Ty Wallace ready for a starting spot? What do you guys think?
Could be.
Could be.
And Gortat, he only played 10 minutes, but he did end with 0-0-1. How do you get an assist and no rebounds if you're Gortat? Do we just start Trez at the 5?
I think it's still unclear.
I want it, but I'm also so...
From a matchup standpoint, I think it makes sense to start Gortat over Trez when you're playing Nurk.
Initially, Nurk, absolutely. I would agree with that for sure. It seems like so much of our center play is dictated on matchups, which is kind of a detriment.
Yes and no. I mean, I think ultimately, Trez, despite having this breakout season, I don't know how well he would thrive at the 5 against starting lineups.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Most centers in the Western Conference are a lot more athletic
bigger
than anybody on our roster.
Yeah.
And just a lot larger than Trez. And like, yeah, he will out-hustle a lot of guys. But sometimes, man, that's just not enough.
Yeah, that only goes so far. And like, he can't, you know, they stretch. If you get a shooting big like AD or something like that, he's kind of vulnerable to that. That's what I meant by the matchups are so hard to play for, because sometimes you just don't have the matchup.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have it, so you have to put Gortat out there who's, you know, the opposite of matchup proof,
yeah,
whatever that would be.
No, I agree. I guess just going, this goes back to the 3-point guarding a little bit.
Someone just said, I want to see Motley. We all do, man.
Every day.
God, we want to see Jonathan Motley. Free Motley.
I just wonder why there wasn't more, like, maybe a more aggressive defensive scheme. Mm. Like, why maybe, especially given the length of Avery Bradley and Shea, they weren't kind of doubling up on the primary ball handler and then just shifting everybody kind of forward a position.
Like a soft double or a straight up just double team?
I was just thinking, like, a straight up double. And I mean,
especially when a guy is going off for 39 points.
Yeah, for 40 points. And I think that obviously is not the way to go all the time, but against the Trailblazers, they have, like, they're in the bottom five in terms of assists, so you know that it's going to be hard for them to move the ball.
Yeah,
they don't definitely. Like, other than, you know, their starting backcourt, they don't have a lot of, like, what I would call, like, real dangerous weapons. Yeah, from an offensive standpoint,
they have, like, spot guys.
Yeah, they have spot guys, and, like, Nurk can, you know, he can shoot in the mid range a little bit
when he wants to,
and he's good inside. But I think that, yeah, maybe in a more aggressive scheme would have behooved us in a game like this.
Let's get into some good.
Yeah, definitely. There were a lot of positives.
Yeah, that's what kind of sucks. Like we said, Tobias had 61. We battled back from 15. I don't know, the bench looked good.
The bench did look good. Yeah, the bench kept us in the game. They outscored their bench 42-24.
Yay. That's how it should be.
So that was really good. We beat them in like every quantifiable our bench beat theirs in, yeah, like every quantifiable stat except for free throws. We went 83%, and they shot 100% of theirs.
Which, yeah, that's kind of tough. Trez had 15, 6, and 4, which was huge off the bench.
Definitely.
Game would have been a lot different, obviously, if he hadn't have been ejected for absolutely no reason. But, yeah, ball movement was great. We had 27 assists on 42 made baskets, which I think is 9 more assists than we had last game.
Yeah.
On less field goals, which is really great. And we won rebounds and turnovers.
Yeah.
These losses suck to recover because there's so many good things.
I know. Yeah. A lot went really, really well. I mean, I just honestly feel, even though we made the same amount of three-pointers, I feel like that, like the defense not being able to defend against that, like, leads to holes in other ways. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And I do think that when you're having trouble stopping guys, the intensity doesn't stay there on defense. And that, you know, I think that that is what kept us out of the game.
For sure. Beverly made a really, I mean, he played fantastic. He had 10 points and 11 assists off the bench.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Again, another person maybe making a case to take minutes away from Bradley.
Yeah, and that lineup was like the second most used lineup in this game. That bench lineup being Shea still running the point or switching with Beverly, and then Ty Wallace, Mike Scott, and Harrell.
That's a fun lineup, man.
Really good lineup.
You could get a meatball lineup with that, and that would be a scary lineup.
Definitely. They were one of the few lineups that finished with a positive plus minus, a plus minus of 5. And they only played 8.5 minutes together. But I think it was really effective. And yeah, I don't know. We've just seen time and time again that Shea and Beverly can share the floor together.
They work, yeah, very well together.
Which is not the case if you have Beverly and Bradley.
No.
And I just think that,
or Beverly and anyone.
Yeah, I just think that right now, the way that's working out, maybe we sneak Beverly back into that starting spot, especially if, you know, we do consider him to be such a, like, linchpin or piece of this team moving forward. You know, yeah, there was a lot of talk in the offseason through the conference and whatnot that, mm-hmm, like, he would like to take a more active role, both in the organization, and we see him as some sort of a tent post or something for this team. And if that's the case, yeah, maybe we do move Bradley to the bench. At what point are we keeping Bradley just to try and bring up his trade value?
Yeah, because it's backfired as of now, I'd say.
I agree. I mean, he had a really positive stretch, you know, that this was a while ago now, but he had a really positive stretch a couple weeks ago. It was still too early to trade him. I think the deadline opened on Saturday when the Ariza trade happened. So, you know, he can be on the market now. It's just...
What market?
Just what market is really out there.
That makes it tough. You know, an encouraging loss again. Let's hope we get the dub against the Mavs on Thursday. Coming up after this, we're going to get into some Twitter Tuesday, some stuff we saw, some questions we saw. But first, if you're watching on the live stream or you follow any of the Locked On podcast,
which you should,
check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates all the podcasts into one place. It's great for during games. On Instagram, you get some more breaking news type stuff because of the stories. It's good. Check it out on Twitter and Instagram, Locked On Net.
All right. So
welcome to Twitter Tuesdays.
Twitter Tuesdays. We got a bunch of stuff. There's some reports surfacing that the Clippers are upset, that some people are calling them desperate for Kawhi.
We are.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we fired Bruce Bowen in the offseason for really no reason.
Which you can, like, if you can say, oh, we didn't fire him because of the Kawhi thing, it absolutely factored in some way or another. It had to have been a factor.
Definitely. And I actually feel a little bit lucky. Sorry, Bruce, you were a great commentator. You were great with Ralph. But I feel a little bit lucky that we've been able to have, like, this kind of rotating cast
this
season.
It's so great, dude. It's awesome.
You know, shout out to the spicy spaghettster out there, Corey Maggette.
The Maggette gospel. You got to move the ball from side to side. And it's cool, the rotating thing. You get to get different perspectives, which is nice.
Definitely. And it's just fun to listen. It's like kind of fun to listen to.
Yeah. Another thing about this whole desperate thing, you're going to seem desperate if you constantly talk about a master plan to bring a player in and have an employee at 75% of his games.
Yeah, they keep people keep commenting on this, that it's like a college recruitment sort of approach. I don't know if it's going to pay off. The Clippers did fire back with, hey, we haven't been at 75%. It's only 50.
Yeah, it's like, oh, great. Like, no, we are acting desperate. This feels like when someone who's very broke thinks they're going to win the lottery.
I don't know. I think that it's fine to make a hard play for Kawhi.
Absolutely.
I actually just really trust this front office right now, so I'm not that concerned about this. I don't really care about looking desperate. I mean, if we get Kawhi at the end of the day, like, all
that's
worth
tight.
It.
I don't care about looking desperate either, but you can't be mad about it.
Oh, that's
when
fair.
You're doing desperate stuff.
Yeah. Like, no, it is pretty pointedly desperate stuff. I think that worth it, though, even if we don't end up getting Kawhi.
Yeah, it shows we care.
Like, it shows we care. I think that sort of behavior, even if it's not happening to a player, appeals to you if you're a free agent, right?
I think it appeals to maybe that specific free agent. I think the flip side, the downside, is maybe that other free agents are like, oh, so I'm not.
They didn't check me out.
I'm just not shit. Like, people got egos.
I think that's fair, but I think that if you're
a consummate professional.
Yeah, I think if you're a consummate professional, it's attractive that a front office is taking that sort of interest in their roster.
For sure. Another bit per Andrew Grafe again. Clippers coach Doc Rivers has brought in former Cavs head coach Ty Lue to spend more time around the team in an informal role. Lue will observe and give his thoughts. Lue was first around the team yesterday and was there last night. How do you feel about that?
Yay.
I know. I'm like, I mean, you know, cool.
Also not great defensively, so...
Yeah, Tyler's going to be out there doing drills. You got your hand down.
Net neutral.
Yeah,
I don't think that Tyler was a bad coach. I'm not saying that at all.
But just, like, why?
I just don't really see what he would add to the current coaching staff.
Yeah, he is pretty funny.
He is pretty funny.
Some jokes. Also, there's some reports that Doc Rivers said he could see Luke Mbiamuta and Lou Williams returning sometime next week, adding that Lue is closer to return than Luke.
That
we need it.
Yeah, that makes sense. We really need Luke too. The backup forward position is really kind of
shallow.
Screwed.
Yeah. How you say screwed?
Other than Scott, there's not really a whole lot. I mean, you could make an argument to put Sindarius out there.
Bit of a liability ball handling wise.
Yeah, he can't handle the ball that well. Offensively, not that great. You could play Ty Wall out of position a little bit. I don't know, man. I still think that our bench has regressed a little bit, mm-hmm. both because of injuries and just performance wise.
Yeah.
So he will be greatly missed. I don't know. I honestly don't know which one is better for the two. Like, Lou Williams, obviously, in terms of scoring.
That's a good call.
But I think defensively, our woes are, like, really pretty apparent to me right now. And I think if we want to secure even a decent playoff seed...
we got to shore those up.
Yeah, the defensive intensity and just execution is going to have to be a lot better.
So we had a couple questions. This one from Eric Esquire 503. Why won't Doc give Boban a significant run? He and I kind of got into a spat about this on Twitter. It's because Boban is only good at one thing, and that's playing against the right matchup.
Yeah, definitely. Boban, it's just kind of blatantly apparent when he is going to work or not work.
Yeah,
you throw him out there. You really don't need more than a 5-minute sample size to see,
figure it out.
Hey, is this going to work or is this not going to work? So I actually trust Doc on the Boban stuff. I like Boban. He can be fun to watch.
Yeah,
but,
lovable guy.
It's like a It's like one of those screwdrivers that you get that's specific to an IKEA piece of furniture.
Got it.
And it works freaking awesome for putting together that shoddy cabinet or whatever.
One time.
But if you keep that in your tool drawer, like, when are you going to use it?
What are you paying that tool millions of dollars? Yeah, and last night it was very apparent just on the pick and roll. Anytime Bobo was out, they'd just switch to him on the pick and roll, and he'd get burned, which is pretty bad. So it's defensively. Offensively, he's great when he's on, but there's just too short. There's just not enough stuff.
Yeah.
For him to do.
Yeah.
Free Motley. This one from Chris Clipper fan. Should we get Austin Rivers back? Full disclosure, we can't because he just went to Memphis, but let's pretend he didn't do that. Talk about what happened. Like, maybe?
Is it wrong to say that Avery Bradley has me missing?
No, I think
Austin
a lot of
Rivers
people
right
are,
now?
Dude. Justin Russo was tweeting about that. I mean, I agree with it.
He was a better
weird.
He was a better shooter, not a high volume shooter.
Reports now say that Memphis won't sign Austin. Wow, shout out to the live stream for hooking it up. Well, I feel bad for Austin Rivers now. Who wants this man?
Yeah, it's. Like. I feel like it's a little bizarre. I think that he maybe wasn't. I thought that he was going to be a good fit in Washington.
Yeah.
It didn't really work out. I don't know. I think that organization is just such a cluster that I can't really point out any single thing for why it's not working. I can point out 100 things. So I don't really know. I think that he is still solid enough to play in the league as a backup role.
For his dad. It seems like he plays the best. I mean, like, they don't have a great relationship. They've talked about it. I can't imagine how hard that is. But, like, let's just bring him back for a little bit. Why not?
I think especially with Luke out, I don't know. It would just help. I think that he's a great pairing to be alongside Lou Williams, too.
Yeah.
They
know each other.
They know each other. He can kind of spot up. He can dribble a little bit. Lou can handle all the playmaking and, bear the majority of the scoring. And then you still have that defensive effort and intensity on the other side, even if he isn't like the greatest. He's still pretty solid.
Yeah. He didn't fit in Washington. Who knows why? If you want him back, tweet at us, see what's going on. We're kind of on the fence, but hey, who cares? Oh man. Anything else?
I think that's about all we have from Twitter for today.
Yeah. He can play decent D and score well. He can score okay. We appreciate the feedback. Coming up after this, some brief NBA talk. But first, if you're traveling out of sunny Los Angeles for Christmas, which is next week, hope you got your shopping done, and you need warm clothes, you need to check out Action Heat. Hottest clothes on the market. They got a special deal for our listeners. Save 20% on your entire order. Go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action has to offer. Or enter Locked On at the coupon code. Save 20%. Stay toasty warm. Buy me a jacket. All right. Now some NBA talk.
Yeah.
Suns destroyed the Knicks.
As they will.
Go Suns, baby. Booker with...
Battle of the Bad.
Yeah, oh, man. That's awesome. Booker with 38-7. TJ Warren had 26. DeAndre Ayton put up 21-13. Emmanuel Mudiay led the Knicks with 32, while Enes Kanter had 13-10, and for some reason decided to get into a Twitter feud with Devin Booker.
You told me about this morning. I was totally lost on this. I don't get it.
What's the point, Enes?
So he tweeted out a picture of Booker like with his hands up and holding the L with the caption?
Yeah, it said, hold this L.
Or did he Photoshop an L?
Oh, there's a big L in the picture.
Oh, wow.
He maybe paid someone to Photoshop this. Now that I'm just thinking about
it. I was wondering if he's handy.
But I think this was after they just lost by 18 points. And Booker, being the millennial that he is, responded with, quoting the tweet, pick and roll at 00 every time. What are you doing, Enes Kanter?
Yeah, I don't really understand.
You're bad. Devin Booker's great.
Yeah.
He's better than you are.
Incomparable.
No, yeah, but still better than he is.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd rather
objectively,
have,
yeah.
Yeah. Also, I don't know. I guess Booker handled it the best way you could. Kanter's annoying.
Yeah, he's gone for doing a little too much.
Fantastic. I mean, all the stuff he does politically is wonderful. That has to be very difficult to deal with. But don't put up terrible memes.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing you can do in 2018.
Not even a real meme. Don't try to make your own memes.
Don't make a meme. Warriors got by the Grizzlies 110-93. Weirdly kind of low-key night for the Warriors. KD led all scorers with 23. Steph had 20. Omri Caspi was the momagers off the bench for Memphis with 20. No one on Memphis has a positive plus-minus.
Omri Caspi looks pretty good, like coming off that
Yes,
bench.
He does, man. The Grizzlies have this weird thing where they can just like tap someone's, not lost potential, maybe lost potential. It just seems like there's almost like a fountain of youth like something.
It's like the same. I think it's the same thing that the Clippers try to do. And we do well in some respects.
Exactly what you're
but like,
about.
You know, having a player be that player. We're not necessarily like trying to shape them into something else. We're just trying to get them to be like the best them. So we
be
kind
the
of
best you.
Yeah, we kind of cater to their style of play or whatever. And it's not exactly working for the Clippers right now, but in some instances it works really well.
You want to get into this Spurs game?
My computer just went to sleep. One sec.
Classic sleepy computer.
So the Spurs blasted the Sixers 96-123. Rudy Gay led all scorers with 21, looked dominant. Check out the highlights. There's some pretty sick dunks.
Shout out to Rudy Gay.
Aldridge added a paltry 20-10-2. DeRozan had 20, 6, and 7. And former Clipper Gray led the Sixers with 16. Simmons also had 16, but he didn't lead.
Ooh, yeah, no, you're not leading if Redick's getting the same amount as you.
And no one else for the Sixers had more than 13 points. It was kind of even scoring, but yeah, still not a good. Off night for Sixers? Or do you think the Spurs defense is back?
I think it's maybe a little of both. The Spurs are a team where as the season goes on, it was like they're just going to get better.
Yeah, I was never worried about the Spurs. I don't think you and I ever expressed a bit of concern.
We were never going to roll over them anyway. Yeah, they're probably getting better, which is great for the Western Conference. Another
what are the chances we face them in a round one playoff series?
Pretty high.
I think
it's between them and the Lakers, actually.
Yeah.
For the two teams we're probably going to be most likely to face.
That I would, well,
I'd rather play the Lakers.
I would say them or OKC.
Yeah. I guess out of those three, I would rather play the Spurs.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't want to play the Lakers in the playoffs because every game is a home game for the Lakers at that point.
Yeah.
Which would be terrible. Also, speaking of which, the crowd at Staples Center last night, depressing.
I watched the game on mute, so I could not really hear.
Oh, my God. I watched it with the sound on. You could hear people's ice melting in their cups. It was just like, I mean, rightfully so. We weren't playing very well for part of it, but it was like just a little more support. Like,
especially at the end, man.
Something.
Especially at the end.
They were up at the end a little bit, but it's like, we're 28th or something in attendance. We got it. You're going to the game on Thursday. You're doing your part.
Yeah.
Wolves ate up the Kings 132-105. Wiggins led the Wolves with 17. He led with 17-5-2. God, I hate the Wolves. Cat added 14-14-3. Covington pitched in a cool 13-5-2. Buddy Hield having the best season of his life with 21 points, leading all scorers. Man, I wish the Kings would have won this game.
Yeah.
It just would have been nice. You know,
would have been nice.
One for the Kings.
I feel like I'm kind of out on the Wolves. I guess I like them a little bit more now.
I wish they didn't have Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Guy sucks. Bad dude. That about does it for us. The Clippers don't play till Thursday. So tomorrow we're going to be taking a look at what could have been in the parallel universe.
Parallel universe.
Do some Clippers culture talk and just some general NBA wrap up, guys. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in.